It's funny that Brother Coy mentioned a reading plan for reading through the Bible, because the thoughts that I have on my mind this morning are contained in today's reading of the book of Ruth. So if you have your scriptures and want to read along with us, I encourage you to do so. I whether you've already read it this morning or whether you're going to read it tonight, I trust that the Lord's blessings would be upon your reading of His Word, and would allow the, and that He would bless the thoughts that I have, so that we would be able to rejoice in His truths together as one. I appreciate the words from Brother Coy, and appreciate the prayer too as well. Brother Coy, I want to start reading in verse 14 of Ruth chapter 1, where the word of the Lord says, "And they lifted up their voice and wept again. And Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth clave unto her. And she said, Behold, thy sister-in-law is gone back unto her people and unto her gods. Return thou after thy sister-in-law. And Ruth said, Entreat me not to leave thee, or to return from following after thee. For whither thou goest, I will go, and where thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God my God. Where thou diest, will I die, and there will I be buried. The Lord do so to me, and more also, if aught but death part thee and me." When she saw that she was steadfastly minded to go with her, then she left speaking unto her. If the Lord would be with us this morning, I want to speak about four things concerning Ruth. The first of which is her persistence. The second of which is her oath. Thirdly is her obedience. And lastly, her blessing. Ruth's persistence, Ruth's oath, Ruth's obedience, and Ruth's blessing. We read here, if I were to go all the way back to the beginning of the book of Ruth, that there was a family from Israel that during the time of a drought, in the time of a famine, departed Israel and went into the land of Moab. You know, as we tried to speak a few weeks ago from the book of Deuteronomy concerning the seven characteristics of the land of Canaan, one of the characteristics of that land is that it had hills and valleys. It also had times of abundant rain from heaven and times of dearth. And if we follow Scripture close enough, what we would see is the time of famine came at a time of disobedience. But nevertheless, the charge has never been for the people of God to depart the land in which the Lord has placed them. And so the family of Israelites, and Naomi was the mother of that family. And no, I'm not going to pronounce those other names of her husband and her two boys. You can go and you can read them yourself. But nevertheless, they departed the land that the Lord had given them. They rebelled against the land that the Lord had placed them in. And because there was a time of famine, instead of praying for the Lord's abundance to come upon them so that they could again eat of the land, they left the land. How often we see people do that same thing in regards to the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. There comes a time of famine in their own life, and instead of looking and seeking maybe what they're doing wrong and praying for the Lord to again restore their service to the truth so that He would again bless them with rain, they depart the land that God has given them. But in the midst of the departure, whenever they were in the land of Moab, those two sons of Naomi, they married two Moabite women. One was named Orpah and the other one was named Ruth. And I just read those names to you in the verses that I've read to you this morning. And upon the death of Naomi's husband and Naomi's two sons, she charged those two girls. She says, "I'm going because I've heard that there's bread in Bethlehem, that I'm going to return into the land of Israel. But I would like for you two to return into the land in which my sons found you. Go back unto your gods." And one of them left, but the other one clave unto her mother-in-law. The scripture teaches us that Ruth, she was steadfastly minded to go with her. You know, I like that wording. You know, a lot of people, I'm not encouraging here to be hard-headed, and I'm not encouraging ungodly persistence, but in order to be a servant of the Lord, there's got to be some steadfast-mindedness that you have in your walk with Him. That principle is taught over and over and over again in the Word of God. If we go over to the New Testament, what does the Apostle Paul say in the Hebrew letter? And you say, Brother Will, you quote this verse all the time. We get it. Maybe you've heard it, but I want to make sure you get it. For without faith it is impossible to please God. For he that cometh unto God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. The house of God and the fellowship of the Lord Jesus Christ is a place for those that are willing to say, I know, Lord, that I'm not worthy of the blessings, and you're not bestowing them upon me because of something that I'm worthy of, but I'm going to persistently pray that thou would bestow them unto me. I'm going to be persistent in my service unto thee. Think about the persistence that is shown in the exercise of how those who sought the Lord. Think about in the parable of the unjust judge. What does the Lord say in the parable of the unjust judge? He says, and shall not God avenge His own elect? And shall not God avenge His own elect, which day and night come unto Him, though he beareth long with them? He said, shall He not avenge His own elect, which come day and night unto Him in request? And that's the same thing that is given unto us, is to come day and night and request the things that we stand in need of from the Lord. Think about the lady that had an issue of blood for 12 years and how she had to press through the throng to be able to come and to touch the garment of the Lord Jesus Christ to be healed of her infirmities. It took some pressing on. It took some pressing on for that Canaanite woman who the Scripture says that she had a daughter who was vexed with the devil and near death. And the Lord said, it's not meat that I should take the meat from the master's table and cast it on the dogs. And she said, even the dogs eat of the crumbs of the master's table. She persistently sought the blessings of the Lord. She sought them in a godly way. I tell you, you know, just as there's a lot of things that Scripture gives us to teach us to do things in a godly way, there's a way that if we go about it ungodly, it loses its effect. I've had some people in my walk of life who request things and who are persistent about it, but they're ungodly with it. We've had some people that have made requests for our family to do things that we just couldn't make happen and couldn't bring to pass, just didn't feel led to it. And so their persistence turned into name calling, and their persistence turned into ungodliness. And that's not what I'm charging you with today. I'm charging you with the same humility that Ruth had, that you would be steadfastly minded, that you want to be a part of the people of God, and that you're going to do what it takes and say, Lord, give me the blessings unto thy kingdom. I tell you, as I read this relationship between Naomi and Ruth, I can't help but so many times see the blessed sisters that the Lord has blessed me and my family to be a part of and to be able to meet since we've joined the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. And just as how Naomi, from this point forward, took a beloved daughter-in-law under her wing, she did the same as Priscilla and Aquila, and she taught this Ruth, just as Priscilla and Aquila taught the minister there in the book of Acts chapter 19, the way unto God more perfectly. She was patient with this sister. She was teaching this sister. I tell you, one of the things that the church of the Lord Jesus Christ is responsible for, one of our responsibilities is given to teach those who come from other parts of this world who maybe don't have the knowledge that the Lord has given His church, and to teach them the way unto God more perfectly. And I'll get to some of that here in a minute when we look at the obedience that Ruth exercised. But here you have that she was steadfastly minded. She was persistent. She was persistent in her service unto the Lord. Look at that's contained in verse 18, by the way. I didn't just make up those words. It says that when Naomi saw that Ruth was steadfastly minded to go with her, then she left speaking unto her. Next, I want to look at the oath that Ruth makes. The oath that she makes, that's contained in verses 16 and 17 of the text that I read to you. As we read through those words, I think that as I read through those, that if you're a member of the church of the Lord Jesus Christ today, and this is not the covenant that you've made with the kingdom of God, I encourage you to make it today. It's not too late It's something that you should make before you become a part of the kingdom of God. But if you haven't, it's something that you should make today. If you haven't made this covenant in your union and in your marriages with your husband or with your wife, I encourage you today to say these very words in reference to your marriage. Ruth here, she stands before Naomi. Naomi says, "Return unto thy gods." But she says, "Entreat me not to leave unto thee or to return from following after thee. I want to be a part of what thou hast, what you have." You know, I think about the, and I know it's every time we have a scheduled baptism at church, I can't help, my mind goes back to the day that I was blessed to be baptized and blessed to be a part of the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I remember from the very first time that I started visiting amongst the people of God that there was something there that I knew I wanted. That there was something there that I knew was different from what I'd gotten. I remember it was just the mothers carrying the babies around. You know, if you go to churches of the world, they take the children out and they go to another room. You know, having not attended an old Baptist church for some time whenever I visited, it was just good to see the children in the house of God. And to see the countenance on the faces of the mothers as they carried that baby, maybe sometimes in and out, in order to be able to teach them to be able to sit in the Lord's house during services. It was just something that I knew I wanted some of that. And the thing that Ruth, what we see here is that Ruth saw something in this family of Israelites. She says, "I want some of these things that I see in this family. I want to be a part of it. Entreat me not to leave thee or to return from following after thee." I tell you, when the Lord blesses somebody to be able to see the beauty of the kingdom of God, the last thing that we ought to do is encourage them not to be a part of it. We need to encourage them to come and be a part of it. Sure, there's things to learn. I tell you, the house of God is a place of prayer, it's a place of worship, and it's a place to learn. It's a place to learn. The Scripture says, "Come unto me, all ye that are weary and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me." And I tell you, from the hardest of oxen to the weakest of sheep at the house of God, we all have things to learn at the house of God. And Ruth stood in need to learn some more things. Again, as we look at her obedience, we're going to see these things that she needed to learn. But notice, Naomi here, she tells her, she says, "Entreat me not to leave thee or to return from following after thee." It says, "For whither thou goest, I will go. And whither thou lodgest, I will lodge." You know, the church of the Lord Jesus Christ is a lot like a lodge. It's a temporary resting spot. It's a temporary resting spot for people weary from the world. People weary from the world. I'll tell you, doesn't a bed feel good after a hard day's labor? Doesn't a good soft bed feel... We stayed in a family's home last weekend, and I know what a burden it must be whenever they learn that six are coming. And the minister always wants to put people in the homes, but I always tell them we'll be glad to stay in a hotel. But nevertheless, we got to that home, and they wanted us to break out. They wanted me to have the air mattress so that I could sleep with myself, by myself. But I said, "No, I'll be fine with my two boys in the bed with me. Just give me a soft spot to lay." We didn't get into the hotel before the night that we got there until midnight, and then we got up the next morning and traveled the rest of the way. "Just give me a spot on the floor and I'll rest comfortably." And that's the way that the servant of God feels about the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. "Just give me a spot on the floor. Just give me a spot. Just let me rest a little while. This world has weighed me down. Just give me a place where you can tell me about what the Lord has done for me. Where thou lodgest, I will lodge." And I feel like that about the church of the Lord Jesus Christ today. It didn't matter whenever we were building this church, if we were meeting under a tent right here, or if we were meeting in somebody's front yard, if we were meeting in the blessed spot that we had for a year at Brother Lloyd and Sister Angie's, I wanted to just lodge where the people of God lodge. It's special to me. I pray that those ways feel, that you feel the same way, that I just want to be where the people are. I'm thankful to be a part of what I was able to go to last weekend. But I tell you, on Sunday morning, I longed to be here. I wanted to lodge with you all. And I don't want to complain about it too much, because when the Lord tells me to go somewhere, I ought to go. And He told me to go and to stay through Sunday, and I felt like I was doing what the Lord had told me to do. But it doesn't mean that I don't want to lodge with the people of Macedonia. "Where thou lodgest, I will lodge." And she says, and follows, and she says, "And thy people shall be my people." Thy people shall be my people. You ever notice that the relationships at the house of God, we all have different people, don't we? That are not necessarily part of us here. But I tell you, we ought to treat them lovingly just because they belong to some people who we love. Does that make sense? In other words, thy people shall be my people. My people may not always be your people. You know, I drag a lot of... I drag my mom and daddy and my brother-in-law and sister in here. And I'm thankful that whenever they come here, that they feel like that they're treated like they're just part of you. Because what you have said is, thy people shall be my people. They belong, if you love them, I'm going to love them for Christ's sake, and I'm going to love them because you love them. And Ruth here is telling Naomi that I know that there's something that's out there that you're going back to that I've never experienced, but I'm going to make what is yours mine. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God my God. And I want to tell you, the God that the Primitive Baptists worship is not the God that this world recognizes as being God, but we all collectively could say that the God of a perfect redemption, that a God of a finished work. If we can always say that, then I tell you, we can have harmony at the house of the living God. There's things that we may not agree on. I tell you, looking forward to the day to day, I stayed up late last night and I watched the end of the Braves game. And I know that everybody here doesn't care less what went on that, but they won in the bottom of the ninth. They came back and they won. And I told Allison, I said, boy, this is just makes for a good night's rest. And even that much more joy on top of the day that we've got tomorrow. And I know that not all of you rejoice in that, but nevertheless, we rejoice in the same God. Thy God shall be my God. You know, one thing that you ought to, if you haven't yet made that decision for a mate in this world, for a spouse, you better talk to them about this beforehand. Can their God be your God? Or can your God be their God? I tell you, there's a lot of people that consider it after the fact. And all you have from then on is just boom, 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 boom. It's nothing short of just pure running into one another in your cars before you leave to go to the house of God on Sunday morning. Can you say collectively together that thy God shall be my God? I tell you, Ruth has seen something in this family. She says, I want a part of it. She says, I want to be a part of this, that this family that I bless to be a part of. Where thou diest, I will die, and there will I be buried. The Lord do so to me and more also, if aught but death part thee and me. Where thou diest, I will die. You know, I'm thankful that as we were going through the letters to the seven churches of Asia, that if you recall, I read that particular passage that was contained from a historian from the time, and it was written concerning the church at Smyrna. And one of the things that he wrote about those particular people of God from the church at Smyrna, if you'll remember, is they bury their own. I want you to know that if I don't live another night, I want this church to know, not out in this yard, bury me, but I want you to bury me. Don't let a man from this world, just because my family, no matter where my family may end up, don't let them convince the church to let a man come and stand over me and make an invitation to do something that day or to burn in hell. I want to tell you that I witness that amongst our own people more than I wish to even admit. That they would rather turn their services over to people of this world just because they're aunts and uncles and brothers and sisters than to turn it over to the house of the living God and turn it over to the people of God so that they can say that where I die, I will die. And you know, if there's two things that I want to experience with the people of God, I want my family to be comforted by the truth and by the church of the Lord Jesus Christ whenever I pass. I want my children to be comforted by the people of the Lord Jesus Christ whenever they get ready to get married in this world too. I want them to be comforted by both in this world. And I think both of them are spiritual services, and it means something for the church to be able to support them in that. I'm for it. I think that's something that's a God-given charge for us to stand and for us to do those things one with another. If the Lord will bless some of the brethren in this church to outlive me. You carry me. You don't let them turn me over into somebody that just soon turn me over upside down and dump me and let me roll out in the middle of the road. I don't want those type. I want to be a part of the people of God. I want these things that Ruth wanted. And I pray God that the Lord will bless me with that kind of zeal and love for the cause of Christ until I depart this life. I want to be with the people of God. They're special to me. You know, one of the things that I say constantly is don't talk ugly about the church very long around me. It won't make it very long around me. You know, if I have authority in the position, I'm going to speak against you talking ugly about them. And if I don't have authority, I'll just get up and I'll leave. The people of God are special to me. They've treated me just as Naomi treated Ruth. That is, they took her in. They took her in. They took a Moabite. I'm the Moabite. I'm the Moabite. But the Lord has blessed me to be a part of people that have treated me well. I'm the Moabite woman. No, she didn't have a covenant heritage in the people of God, but they brought her in and they still gave her blessings. We've noticed here her persistence, her oath. What a godly oath this is that she made. Let's notice her obedience. Let's notice her obedience. As we look here after they return to Israel, and she's given a burden. You know, there's a lot of preaching in the book of Ruth, and I think I've spoken on some of these things before. But nevertheless, if we even spent some time on the fact that she had a burden to go work. She had a burden to go out in the field. You know, there's a field of labor for the people of God here in this world. There's work to be done. There's work for the child of God that wants to take on the labors of the New Testament kingdom. No, we're not working our way into heaven. We're working because we have a hope in our heart that that's where we're going, is to heaven. There's things to be done. And we can read at the beginning of chapter 2 that she says, I'm going to glean in the fields. But we read in the gleaning of the fields that the Lord, by His providential hand, guided her to the field of Boaz. And what do we read here that Boaz told this one named Ruth? We read in chapter 2, verse 8. It said, Then said Boaz unto Ruth, Hearest thou not, my daughter? Go not to glean in another field, neither go from hence, but abide here fast by my maidens. Abide here fast by my maidens. One of the best things that you can do as a part of the New Testament church is abide fast by your brothers and sisters. Abide fast by your brothers and your sisters. I believe that not only is there learning that takes place whenever you abide fast by your brothers and sisters, there's relationships that are formed that will supersede the ones that you're chasing out here in the world to try to kindle. That will supersede them. There's a lot of people that on the Lord's Day, they chase relationships out in this world and try to kindle them. And they continuously chase them and chase them and chase them and chase them. And in the process of it, they're forming a bridge between themselves and the people at the house of God. And they chase them and they chase them and they chase them to the point where they become so confused they don't know which way to go. Well, I tell you, do as Boaz says, abide fast by the Lord's maidens, by the Lord's brothers and sisters. Abide fast there. If you think about the time that it takes that the Lord has set aside to worship Him and compare it to the time that you've got to do all those other things, He's not asking that much. He's not asking that much. You've got 6 days that you can go and do as you need to do those sort of things. But the Lord has set aside His day to abide fast by the maidens. In other words, to be a part of the people that He has established as His. See, Boaz had that authority. He had that authority as being a great man in Israel to set forth these people as His maidens. And he had the authority to tell one that had come in there. He says, you don't go and you don't glean in another field. And it doesn't mean that there's nothing that she couldn't have had anything to eat out of those other fields. But the best thing that she had to eat was there in His field. That's the best. As Brother Coy was talking about, that's the more profitable field. You know, the reason why, there's a lot of meetings that if we stand up here and we just announce, you know, from time on end, that go on all around us, but I don't announce them all. And the reason being is I announce the ones that I, through prayer, believe will be the most profitable for the people of God to attend. You know, first of all, if I announce some that aren't so profitable, then and people go to those and they aren't blessed from on high, what do they start to do? They start to become frustrated. Boy, I set aside this extra time for this, and yet it wasn't blessed from on high. I tell you, I don't know if I'm going to listen to Brother Will's counsel and advice anymore. I tell you, next weekend, Rome Midway, I forgot to announce it beforehand, they've got a meeting on Friday and Saturday over there. They've got some good ministers coming. The meeting starts on Friday at 3 o'clock, and they have supper and a night service, and Saturday morning, lunch, and Saturday afternoon. I encourage you to go. I believe through my prayers, I'm going. And I wouldn't go, and believe me, the last thing I want to do is load my four up the kids up and go through the effort that it takes to try to go to a meeting if it's not going to be profitable. If whenever we leave there, we can't say it was a good thing that we went to the house of God today. But Boaz said, "Abide fast by my maidens," because it was the most profitable field for Ruth to be in. He said, "You abide fast by my maidens." And listen to what she did. Verse 14, he also says unto her, it says, "And Boaz said unto her at mealtime, Come thou hither and eat of the bread and dip thy morsel in the vinegar." And what did she do? "And she sat beside the reapers, and he reached her parched corn, and she did eat and was sufficed and left." Did she not follow the same commandments that Mary gave to the ones who made the wine in John chapter 2? "Whatsoever he saith unto you, do it." I tell you, she was obedient to the commands that the one in charge had given her. No, I'm not saying I'm the one in charge. I'm saying that the Lord is the one in charge. And whenever He issues a charge unto you, be obedient to it. "Whatsoever He saith unto you, do it." You know, there's a lot of things that as soon as the Lord tells you to do something, you've got a million whispers in your ear as to why you shouldn't do it. But I tell you, listen to what the Lord told you to do. And you said, "How do I know if it's Him that told me to do it?" If it's in accordance with this word, it's Him that told you to do it. If there's any ifs, ands, or buts about it, as far as being out of line with this word that we have before us this morning, it ain't the Lord telling you to do it. He's not divided. If I, you know, He speaks in the New Testament and says, "If I by the power of Beelzebub cast out devils," then He's a house that's divided. And a house that's divided cannot stand. The Lord's commandments and the Lord's teaching and His Word, they work in perfect unity. They work in perfect unity. And she followed what Boaz told her to do. You know, read with me again one more verse. It can be found in verse 23 of chapter 2. It says, "So she kept fast by the maidens." What was the charge, the first charge that He gave her in her obedience? As He said, "Abide fast by my maidens." Verse 23 says, "So she kept fast by the maidens of Boaz to glean unto the end of the barley harvest and of wheat harvest, and dwelt with her mother-in-law." She did what Boaz commanded her to do. I tell you, there's a lot of things that the Lord tells us to do in His Word. A lot of people believe that the New Testament is just blank concerning because you go from the law to grace. They think that under grace there's no commandments from God. No, under grace means that the Lord has given you the covenant knowledge of knowing that He paid for your sins on the cross of Calvary, and that there's no work that you can do to go to heaven. The Lord is taking care of that. But it doesn't mean that it's a place of dearth and do nothing. That's the farthest thing from the teachings of the New Testament church. He gives us charge after charge. He gives us charge about acknowledging or about forgiveness. He gives us charge about worship. He gives us charge about praise. I can't even begin to even come close to naming them all that the Lord has told us that we must exercise. He's given us the capability in the new birth to be able to do these things, and He's giving you the knowledge as being a part of the New Testament church to know how to do them. And He says, do them. And I tell you, if we do them, we can experience the same thing that Ruth did. She abided fast by the maidens. She stayed at the supper table, and she got to eat of the spread that the head of the house put forth before her that night. You know, that's what we have in the church, is we have a spread. Jesus has a table spread, is the song that we sing, where the saints of God are fed. He invites His chosen people, come and dine, come and dine. I tell you, I hope that the Lord will bless us here at Macedonia to have hungry people gathered on Sunday morning. I hope He'll bless us with a bountiful table before us each and every time we gather together, because that's the purposes of the New Testament church, is to feed upon the milk and honey that He has here in the New Testament Canaan land. And so He's given these charges to Ruth, and she didn't just hear them, she did them. You know, that's the charge of James in the New Testament. He said, "Be not hearers only, but doers of the word." Be not just hearers, but doers. She's not only shown us here her persistence, her oath, and her obedience. Look at the blessing that she received through this obedience. If we continue it, and I don't have, first of all, it would be profitable to do so just to read it from here on out, but I pray you do. But if we sort of summarize to the end, what we see is that this sister continued to take heed unto what Naomi and what Boaz had told her to do. And that Boaz was not only one who had authority and one who was great in Israel, he was her second nearest kinsman, if you will. Second nearest kinsman. There was a nearer kinsman than him. But Boaz, being the faithful one to abide by the law and the ways that the Lord had set up, he went to that nearest kinsman redeemer. And he said, "Wilt thou buy the what is left of the family of Naomi?" And through the purchase of their land, he also must purchase his wife. And he said he couldn't because he'd mar his own inheritance. Now, I've got my reasons as to why I believe he could have marred his own inheritance because he was already married already. Or he could have marred his own inheritance because the people who were going to give him an inheritance would not give it to him if he had a Moabite wife. There's a couple of different reasons why he may have marred his own inheritance. But nevertheless, Boaz, he bought Ruth. He made her his wife. And read with me in chapter 4. If we read in verse 13 of chapter 4, it said, "So Boaz took Ruth, and she was his wife. And when he went in unto her, the Lord gave her conception, and she bare a son. And the women said unto Naomi, Blessed be the Lord, which hath not left thee this day without a kinsman, that his name may be famous in Israel." What was her blessing? It was fellowship with her kinsman redeemer. Fellowship with her kinsman redeemer. She got to experience that because she was obedient. She got to experience that because she was persistent. She got to experience that because she kept up her end, if you will, of the oath that she made. Is that not the charge of the Apostle Paul in Hebrews chapter 4? "Seeing then we have a great high priest which is passed into the heaven, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast." That means keep our profession. Let us keep our oath. And what will we experience through it? Fellowship with our kinsman redeemer, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We get to have fellowship. We get to have fellowship with the one that created this world, that spoke it into existence. We get to have fellowship with the one that loved us so much that he paid for our sins on the hill of Golgotha on Calvary's cross. We get to have fellowship with the one that is seated on the right hand of God today, and he ever liveth to make intercession for us. We get to have fellowship with him. You ever thought about the measures that some people go through to have people that will fellowship with them here in this world? Think about the things that bless their hearts some people have to go through just to have a friend in this world. They have to abide by rules, whether it be through the college system of the clubs that they have set up, or whether it be just through the systems that people have in the smaller level of schools. People go through all kind of measures to keep a friend. But I want to tell you, there's not a one of them worth having that'll supersede the friend that you can have in the Lord Jesus Christ. He can do more for you. You know, you think about a friend, he says, "They've always been there for me. Every time I needed a shoulder to cry on." Think about the Lord Jesus Christ. "They listen to me whenever I'm in need." So is the Lord Jesus Christ. The scripture says that he's a friend. There's a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. I haven't had many people in this world that were closer to me than my brother, but I pray that the Lord always bless me to know and to be able to feel and have the fellowship with my Savior to know that he's closer to me than a brother. May the Lord, if you received anything from these comments that we've tried to make today, you be careful to give God all the honor, praise, and glory for him. I pray that the Lord will bless us to not only to rejoice in these things, but to be able to rightly apply them to our walk with him. And that we would be blessed with fellowship with our kinsman redeemer. I thank you for your kind, sweet attention this morning.